This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Azzedine Downs is the president and CEO of the International Fund for Animal Welfare, whose mission is to rescue and protect animals around the world. The IFAW works around the globe to save wildlife by working in tandem with native populations towards a greater good. Azzedine Downs talked with Cincinnati Zoo Director Thane Maynard about the IFAW's projects taking place in more than 40 countries.
Azzedine Downs, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You're nice to spend some time with us. And, you know, I've lately come to learn a bit more about your organization, the International Fund for Animal Welfare. I travel quite a bit, and I've seen your logo and your projects in many places around the world, but I think it's not really a household name, so I'm glad to be with you. Maybe you can share some with our listeners the work that you all do.
Sure. Think of ourselves as a fairly unique conservation organization that really puts the concerns of for a healthy planet, a thriving biodiversity, and an importance on individual animals as well. And so it's a combination you don't see often in the conservation world. But we are working in over 40 countries around the world, and everything from elephants to dogs and cats to rescuing marine mammals when they're stranded.
You know, the interesting thing of the angle toward animal welfare, I think sometimes with the public there's confusion between animal rights groups, animal welfare, and of course, my take as a zoo guy is that zoos are an important part of animal welfare as well.
Right.
You know, we have full-time vets and keepers and nutritionists, but it's an interesting discussion that's going on today, isn't it?
No, it really is, and you know, one of our most important countries in terms of support and number of donors is in the UK, and the concept of animal welfare is fairly well understood, where in the States it is often confused with animal rights. And, you know, in a nutshell, you know, we believe in the intrinsic value of animals, but it's not an animal rights perspective in that it's a human responsibility to take care of animals and to prevent them from harm whenever possible, as opposed to sort of the human construct, which is rights, that the animals themselves have some sort of intrinsic right that they are, putting forward. So it may be a philosophical difference, but I think that in terms of how it's practiced, certainly, when we talk about zoos and we talk about rescue centers and sanctuaries around the world with whom we work, our concern always is that those animals are well cared for, and that's a principle of animal welfare.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I know the work you all do is effective, and one measurement of that, I know for at least 15 years, you've been sponsored, among others, by the Disney Conservation Fund, and I know they vet their projects very carefully. Also, what I've found interesting in reading more and more about IFAW, often you're the first ones in when there is a big emergency. That might be a fire in Australia, or it might be a stranding or whatever. And that's important work to be able to be ready to go do that.
Yeah, you know, and again, it points to this issue of the importance that we attach to individual animals.
Mm-hmm.
I think previously, a lot of rescue undertakings were really questioned from the point of view of whether or not those animals were contributing to the population overall, which is a fairly standard, you know, conservation concern. But we have found certainly that whether it's an oil spill or working with birds or penguins, that in fact we are able to rescue and rehabilitate. And that's good for conservation, but it's also good for those individual animals. And people around the world, I think, are responding more and more to that.
You know, another great thing I saw in an essay that you wrote really embodied, I think, the kind of thing your group does. And so I'll read it here because it's terrific. It says, at IFAW, we make a point of designing our work on what we stand for rather than what we oppose.
Yeah.
And what I think is so great about that is, as you know, today with so many progressive causes, it just ends up with a lot of finger pointing and na-na-na-na-na, which doesn't help anything get where it needs to get. So say a bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I feel really strongly about this, and this was something that I have really tried to focus on at my time at IFA, is that it's very easy to stand outside a building or a zoo or any other institution with a placard and say, don't do something. And oftentimes that argument is translated into very black and white variables, where if you are for something, you must offer a solution. And so we find that in working with governments and in working with people, and particularly communities, that if you can offer a solution that people find rational and takes their best interest at heart, then they are much more likely to make some sacrifices in order to protect wildlife and or prevent abuse of animals. Too often in the past, I think that there's been such a separation between conservation efforts and communities, and really keeping people on the outside. So one of the things I say all the time here is that the majority of animal problems are really people problems. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of disease and rangeland management and things like that, anytime you look at problems that wildlife face around the world, whether it's poaching or loss of habitat, it's people who drive those problems. So leaving people out of the equation, I think, is sort of an antiquated idea. And being for something is much, much more complicated, but you get better results.
And you mentioned about leaning toward people's self-interest, which certainly seems like the way forward. When you think of successful conservation programs, whether that's the mountain gorillas in the Virunga Mountains of Central Africa, or it's protecting areas and coral reefs that help more fisheries grow, when people come to understand that it can actually be economic benefit to the people that live nearby, there's a lot better buy-in than when they're just told what to do or not to do.
No, there absolutely is. And you know, two experiences that I've had recently, one in Malawi, where we worked with a community living along the border with the national park to protect elephants. Lots of poaching going on, lots of poaching and illegal fishing, and people coming into the park because that's the only place that they could get water. Well, we convinced the community that we would build a fence for them to protect them from the elephants coming into their croplands in exchange for them not going into the park, not engaging in poaching exercises or, you know, throwing poison arrows at elephants. And we worked with them so that we brought in a fish farm so that they had both protein for themselves, but also the ability to sell that fish to the local tourist lodges, so it provided some income. The runoff from the fish farm provided irrigation for their vegetable patches. And in the first year, whereas previously there had been 50 people a year killed by crocodiles, in fact, in water, they no longer had to go into the park, didn't face human-wildlife conflict with elephants, and were not killed by the crocodiles. And one of the women stood up and said to me, I never thought that my decision to protect the life of an elephant would create a better life for me. And that is an investment for the community. And likewise, in Kenya, where we lease a corridor in the Amboseli ecosystem going down from Amboseli National Park down to the Tanzanian border, we, you know, involve the community. We provide scholarships for the young people to go to school. And again, mothers mostly stand up and say, never thought that my decision to protect the life of an elephant would send my daughter to school. So that's real. That's a commitment that you get, as opposed to people are on the outside, animals are on the inside, and never the twain shall meet.
And it also recognizes an important tenet that people forget, which is folks hate to be told what to do and what not to do. So if there's a way that it works for them, then everybody can be on board. It sounds like in your work at Amboseli, you know my colleague Jonah Western.
Sure, yeah.
He's one of the great leaders in community-based conservation, so I know that's a good program.
Yeah, and Kenya, I mean, is really exciting what's going on. We recently held a big meeting for all of the communities across Kenya to really become involved and come up with what we call the social contract, which really sort of outlines community responsibilities as well, so that the communities themselves are not relying entirely on the government when there is wildlife conflict.
Well, this has been great to talk. It's been great to learn a bit about the International Fund for Animal Welfare, and I look forward to the Cincinnati Zoo doing some more work with you all in the future.
Thank you very much. I'd like to come out and visit you as well.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd look forward to it. And no kidding, thanks for spending some time with us today on the show.
Very welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Take care. Have a good summer.
Thank you, too.
My guest has been Azzedine Downs, President and Chief Executive Officer of the International Fund for Animal Welfare. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next up on 91.7 WVXU.